Meeting of November 18th, 2022 to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, good morning, board. City of Palm Desert?
Present.
City of Palm Springs?
Here.
Chair, you have a quorum.
Hey, any agenda modifications?
We have no changes to the agenda.
Thank you, Sparrows, and welcome. I think nice to see you as it's the last meeting in all likelihood, Vice Chair Jonathan and I, so it's nice to have one more meeting with you as joining us after all these great years of work. And we will move on to public comments on agenda items. This is the time for members of the public to address the committee on agenda items. Do we have any public comments, Sophie?
Chair, we received no written comments and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
Okay, just last time, raise your hand or hit *9 on your phone. And with that, we'll move on to board member and director comments, even though I sort of started them already. Either of you have any comments? Nothing?
I actually do have a couple items. One of those, I just want to remind you that you'll have a closed session and you should have a closed session link for the Zoom, which will be at the end of the meeting. And then I also want to just acknowledge, it's my great pleasure to join you at this meeting. And we wanted to, this morning, we wanted to acknowledge and appreciate the tremendous support that DC has received from our amazing departing board members, both you, Chair Kors, and Vice Chair Jonathan. Both of you have been with board members with DCE since it officially started in October 2017. And since inception, both of you have provided wise counsel, thoughtful questions, great ideas, ongoing support, and incredible leadership. You've encouraged and supported DCE efforts to be local and helped DCE to bring local wind energy to Palm Springs with the power purchase agreement signed with TerraGen in 2021. Chair Kors, thank you for your awesome leadership with DCE in Palm Springs and Valleywide to promote clean energy, climate action, greenhouse gas reduction, and the benefits of DCE in reducing the carbon footprint in Palm Springs. Thanks to you and your colleagues on the City Council, Palm Springs has made significant progress in expanding green energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Thanks to you, Palm Springs residents and businesses are using 100% carbon-free electricity. Vice Chair Jonathan, thank you for your leadership and undying support for DCE and your efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and encourage more clean energy in Palm Desert. Your background in finance and your oversight on DCE financial matters, as Chair Kors noted, has been a significant benefit to DCE staff and board, I think, as well. In appreciation for all that you have both done for DCE, and unfortunately, Tom wasn't able to be here, but he asked me to tell you about a little surprise we have for you. Tom has arranged with our partners at TerraGen to recognize each of you with a plaque honoring your tremendous leadership with DCE and Valleywide and your efforts to promote a cleaner and more sustainable future for our region. We've got these great plaques that will be installed and Tom will be in touch with you about this probably after the holidays. I know I speak for Tom and the entire DCE team and CVAG in expressing our sincere thanks for all you've done for DCE. We could not have done it without you. And that is very true. I want both of you to enjoy your life after DCE, after City Council. You will be missed. And again, it's a great pleasure to have worked with both of you. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that. Really means a lot. I was make a couple quick comments. Because really, I think this has been such an amazing experience from its inception, even before DCE became DCE, and the work of CVAG bringing this forward. And your leadership, Katie, and the staffs, and Tom, without which none of this would have happened, has been incredible. And getting to work so closely with Vice Chair Jonathan and our prior three members from Cathedral City. It's really been just an honor. And, you know, when I look back at, we get a lot of assignments on city councils, but But two stood out, and really this is one of the two things I am really, probably the thing I'm most proud of and have really enjoyed. And, you know, it's been challenging at times and so rewarding. It's been so worth all the challenges. So thank all of you. And really, Vice Chair Jonathan, your leadership during your tenure on this and the expertise and the financial expertise you bring has been invaluable. And the partnership has just been amazing. And I've really enjoyed that and look forward to getting to spend time with you outside of this world as we move on. And it's really been an honor. And seeing the results of what we've all achieved, this whole team, is beyond what we thought, right, we could actually achieve. And that's so rewarding. And more than anything, I want to thank our residents and businesses who have stepped up and been willing to be part of this and the difference they're making and showing, you know, that at a small city level, we can make a difference. And if that spread throughout the country, it would be night and day where we are on climate change, and we'd already be hitting our goals as a state and a country. So this is a great example. And I am excited that my alternate will likely become Mayor Middleton, will become the person who is, you know, vice president of the League of California Cities and will be in line to become president, because she is such an advocate of this and can help spread that message through other means beyond just our valley. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So thank you.
Thank you. And I guess it's my turn. And I too want to express my appreciation to you, Katie, and Erica, and Tom, and the rest of the gang, the rest of the team that has been here since day one. What a learning curve we all went through, right? I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And you've helped us navigate through that learning curve and try to understand all the incredibly complicated reports that we get and the decisions that we've had to make. So I appreciate you very, very much. You know, I was at my last council meeting last night, and as you know, Jeff, it causes you pause, right? And you look back and say, well, you know, what am I kind of proud of? And what am I not so proud of? And when it comes to DCE, I'm both. I'm so proud and privileged to have been a part of this process. And even though it wasn't my city that made a difference, I feel that I've been a small part of that. So I am proud of that. The part that I'm not proud of, very frankly, is that I wasn't able to persuade my city to follow in Palm Springs' footsteps. As you can tell, I still harbor some disappointment. I respect my colleagues. I'm sure they made good decisions, but my preference would have been to follow in the example set by Palm Springs. And on that note, Jeff, I want to commend you for your leadership role. You made a difference. And it's rarely that the selected officials can point to something and say, hey, it's got my fingerprint on that, but you can and you should. And it's been a privilege to work alongside you, Jeff, and be a part of your leadership or observe your leadership role with some incredibly wonderful, tangible results. And the final comment I would make is I so completely agree with you, Jeff. What you did in Palm Springs can be done anywhere if there's a willingness to do so. And as we read about the climate conference and you know, the world finally paying serious attention to this issue, some people might feel helpless. What can we do? There's these large nations arguing and trying to figure that out. Well, the answer is in Palm Springs. This is one thing that you can do, and you've done it. So congratulations on that. It's been an honor and a privilege to work with you, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So with that, we'll move on to our consent calendar. And just so folks who may watch this later know, it's approval of the minutes from the October 17th, 2022 board meeting and reaffirming the findings that still exist pursuant to Assembly Bill 361, an authorization to continue remote teleconference virtual meetings of Desert Community Energy. And if there are no questions or comments, we'll take a motion.
Move approval of the consent calendar.
I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. We'll now move to our discussion and action items. And our next item which we're so glad to be doing while we still have Vice Chair Jonathan on, is DC's audit for fiscal year 2021-2022 and related reports. And Claude, welcome.
Thank you, Chair Kors, Vice Chair Jonathan. Well, congratulations on your soon-to-be retirement from public service. I'm sure it's bittersweet, as you mentioned, and I'm grateful to learn from you over the past year and a half or so. So just want to give my congratulations as well. So, you know, I have the privilege today of introducing Shannon Ayala. She's a CPA and partner again this year from Davis Farr LLP, who'll be sharing an overview of the fiscal 22 audit results, which we finalized last month in October. This was the second year Davis Farr performed a financial statement audit over DCE. And as you'll see in the results, again, stealing Shannon's thunder, as I like to do whenever I can, these financial statements received another, an unmodified opinion for fiscal year ending 2022, which again is the highest form of opinion a CPA firm like Davis Farr can give on a set of financial statements. And during fiscal 22, DCE saw high annual price escalation and very high market volatility, as we're aware, with some of the global geopolitical events. And this is particularly evident in the operating expenses compared to prior year, which points to this increased power market price conditions to serve current load and to also hedge out for future out year load, right? But DCE's business strategies to help mitigate these pressures and uncertainties, as we all know, include contracting for longer term renewable and carbon free supply at those fixed prices, right? Those PPA agreements, attaining that 180-day operating reserve, coordinating with other CCAs to address CPUC and SCE regulatory activities, and adjusting rates and revenue levels to timely and fully recover all operating costs. I think another major highlight I wanted to make during fiscal year 22 was that revolving line of credit that we were able to establish with River City Bank, which really helped DCE navigate more liquid waters during these times of increased volatility and power supply costs. So I want to thank again the City of Palm Springs, who's a guarantor on that loan. And they're really looking ahead to finishing out this fiscal year 23. We're already almost halfway there. And it's interesting to remember that, you know, this fledgling energy, green energy company was launched during the middle of COVID when it started serving its load, right? And as such, you know, DC hasn't really had a chance to perform certain customary business practices related to its accounts receivable. And the good news is that CAP, California Arrearage Payment Program 2.0, is soon to be funded to customers, we just found out, which is then going to allow DC to begin those business practices on past due customer receivables. And we're really looking forward to increased cash flow through the end of this fiscal year 23 as we build out those target level reserves. So those were just some commentary I had over the past fiscal year, and I'll kick over to Shannon now to give some audit results.
Thank you, Claude. And yes, you did steal my thunder, but I am here to report on the audit results for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2022. We are here a bit earlier than we were last year, so kudos to Claude and Janice for really doing a great job closing the books this year and getting us, started on the audit in September. And we were able to finalize the financial statements on October 21st, 2022. And as he mentioned, we did have an unmodified opinion, which is the highest level that can be received. And it basically indicates that the financial statements and footnotes are presented fairly in all material respects and in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. We also issued the communication to those in governance letter and the government auditing standards opinion. So the audit results were there were no material journal entries detected as a result of our procedures. Well, as I mentioned, the finance staff was very prepared for the audits, and we didn't have any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal control noted. The audit was pretty standard this year, so there's not anything exciting to report as far as new audit procedures or anything that stood out as exceptions or non-compliance with laws and regulations. But
If you did read the audit opinion closely in some of the letters, you'll notice that there were some changes. So there was a new accounting standard, SAS 134, implemented this year, and it changed the structure of the audit opinion. So it did move the audit opinion and the basis for the audit opinion to be the first two paragraphs of the letter, so that just in case that's all you read, you know that the results were great for DCE. And then it also did expand on the auditor's responsibilities for the audit in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards, and then indicates some required communications that were required to have, including the scope and timing of the audit, if there were any significant audit findings, and then references internal control related matters. And then there were some additional changes to the change or to the communication to those in governance letter. This is a standard letter with standard language. And like I said, it really expanded a lot of what we report to those in governance. So it did add auditor's responsibility in relation to the audit and communicating significant matters. Our compliance with ethics requirements regarding independence. If you'll notice, there are two items that we indicate that could be a threat to independence, and that's the preparation of the financial statements as well as proposing any journal entries. But we do ensure that the DCE management's review both all items and approve, as well as have an independent quality control reviewer to mitigate those risks. And then we're also required to note any significant risks that we identify during the planning stages of the audit. And this is done in a variety of ways, either new accounting standards coming out that may affect the organization, or just significant items to the organization. So this year we have revenue and receivables, and for that risk, we reviewed the SOC report on Calpine and noted that there were no findings related to the procedures that are performed over their assertions and no modifications to the opinion. And then we also recalculate the revenues using reports that Claude and Janice provide us. And with that, I can answer any questions that you have on the financial statements or the audit process.
Great. Thank you very much for that. And I'll turn it over to our resident expert, Vice Chair Jonathan.
Thank you. You're putting a lot of pressure on me there. I don't know, expert. I still call it unqualified opinion, so it shows you how old I am. Shannon, you're not going to go over the actual audited statement, right? So if we have questions about that, we should ask them here?
Correct.
Okay. I'll just start with a simple one. Refresh my recollection. What's the deposit payable of $1,680,000?
I think, is that Terrigen? We have a security development deposit on one of the PPAs. So that's actually moved, you'll see, from a non-current liability, because that was over a year period last year, and that's coming due and payable. I think December, January coming up with that PPA, where they're going to be replacing that deposit payable with a letter of credit in the future for the development security piece of that.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sales revenue in this year was just under $43 million. Mm-hmm. Accounts receivable are about $10 million. And in a normal business, that's generally on the high side, right? So can you shed some light on that? I mean, are we going to collect that money and bring that receivable down, or is this normal for this type of operation?
Well, I think I could probably highlight on that, and I tried to allude to it, Vice Chair Jonathan, in my opening remarks about we really have to remember the environment that DC operated in and the restraints that were put on it by the CPUC and other regulatory agencies, and not being able, and when I say customary business practices, not being able to follow those normal procedures through collections process, right? So we've never really had a good hold because of the launch time on how we analyze that, and likely there's an update needed, but we are expecting after the cap payment comes in, hopefully this year, by February, March, we should see a large increase cash flow on those accounts that are past due, and 500,000 of that will be covered by the cap payment. So those would be my initial comments. I'm not sure if it answered your question directly.
Not only does it answer, but it's the right answer.
Well,
and then, you know, the other, moving away from the statement, I'm just wondering, Shannon, you know, in certain environments, it's considered good business practice, and in others, mandatory to have an independent audit committee, such as CVAG itself does. And I mean, as long as things are good, it's no problem to be nice and cozy. And, you know, you're kind of giving a report card to Claude over here, which we know he's always going to get an A+. But if there are issues, it's uncomfortable to address the audit findings or internal control issues with the board, with the person that you're essentially auditing, you know, in the meeting. So do you think that at some point DCE should implement an independent audit committee?
Sure. I think it is always a good business practice. Like you said, it does sort of allow for more detailed conversation prior to a board meeting, and where those types of questions could get worked out prior to presenting to the board. So I think it's always a good suggestion.
Yeah, and I don't think we're being deficient in any way. So it's not something that I'm going to stand here in the last meeting and say, let's do this. But Katie and Erica, if you can make a note for the future board, it could be that they can utilize the existing audit committee, which I think I still sit on, for CVAG itself, right? I'm not sure if that's workable, but just something for consideration for the future, because there's pretty serious bucks in play here. Other than that, I've gone through this, and I think it's a comprehensive audit, Shannon. Great job. Mm-hmm. Well done. And maybe more importantly, Claude, you're a star, man. You've brought the accounting along. You've done so much. And to get a clean report should never be undervalued. You can do everything else right, but if the finances are a mess, the organization comes down, and you've made sure that we're on a very strong foundation. So Claude, appreciate you.
Well, appreciate you, Councilmember Jonathan. I think you sat on my interview panel.
I did. And I've not been disappointed.
Well, I'm glad.
Thank you.
Great. Do we have anything else on this? And we don't need to do anything on this, right?
It's a receive and file. I'm not sure if that requires a vote.
Chair, if you'd like to take a vote, we can note it for the record.
Sure. We can do that. So do we have a motion?
There it is. I guess I move to receive and file.
Okay. I'll second that. All in favor? Yes.
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you both, Shannon and Claude, so much. Really appreciate your work. So our next items are information, attendance records, unaudited financial reports as of September 30th, unaudited year-to-year financial reports as of September 30th, update on DC's distributed energy resource program and carbon-free commercial customer recognition program. Anything you want to discuss, Vice Chair Jonathan? Okay, I'd like us to briefly discuss E, or carbon-free commercial customer recognition program. And I know from the report, we're starting to reach out to distribute the stickers that we printed pre-COVID for businesses. We also had a meeting in Palm Springs with our tourism folks, both Visigreater Palm Springs, as well as Palm Springs House, our tourism agency, to really think about how we update our websites. One of the things this morning at my last Visigreater Palm Springs meeting, we talked about was, you know, in the top three of what residents want Visigreater Palm Springs to focus on and what visitors want us to focus on is sustainability. That's what travelers are looking for. That's what our residents are looking for. And we really have an opportunity, as we've discussed, to promote and use both those websites to have 100% carbon-free businesses highlighted. So I just want to make sure that doesn't get lost But both organizations were really interested in doing that. And we met with our consultant, Burke Ricks, on that. And I think we were going to do something, and hopefully in the fall. We wanted to get through the summer and volatility and other priorities. But I think we really have a great opportunity as we're going into season to really promote on both those websites, maybe even do a press conference, to really highlight DCE as part of sustainability efforts in both the entire Valley and Palm Springs in particular, and utilize those websites, which gets tons of hits for people looking to travel here, to really highlight that. And that'll encourage more businesses to do it. And Visit Greater Palm Springs could share that kind of a event. Why visitors, you know, really focus on that now, right? And, you know, especially younger visitors, right? Which will, as, you know, the next decade goes on, become the majority of our visitors will be in that demographic, right? As it gets to be a larger percentage of the population. So just want to really highlight that and make sure maybe, you know, maybe at the next meeting, maybe we can do another meeting before I'm done December 15th and really see if we can kick that, get that ready to kick off and report back at your January meeting, if that's possible. So I just wanted to highlight that. I think the more we can promote and acknowledge and encourage others, because they're seeing the benefits, especially in the tourism industry, because it's a big user, obviously, of resources here. It's a great opportunity. So our announcement, next DCE meeting will be held January 9, 2023 at 3 p.m. via Zoom webinar. I think it'll be the first meeting in January when Palm Springs will do new assignments, but fortunately, my alternate will be on. So, and I've sent her the date. And looking at her calendar, that looked like it was good, but I just asked her to confirm that, which is Mayor Middleton. And then a new rep, but I know she wants to continue in this role as the main person on this. So she has the history, which will be great. And I know Palm Desert, I'm sure, is also will be looking at that with the new council appointments. So we will adjourn into closed session.
Chair. And,
yes,
Chair. Before you adjourn, sorry to interrupt, but we did want to ask if there's any non-agenda.
Yeah, sorry. Public comment on non-agenda items, *9, or raise your hand if you're interested.
I don't see any raised hands, but thank you for pausing for
the
opportunity.
Thank you. I jumped ahead. And now we
Mr.
will
Chair,
adjourn. Oh, yes. No.
Sorry. Yeah. One more real quick comment. Please. Thanks for your good comments and suggestions on the information item. And we'll follow up with staff to make sure that that project moves forward. As you said, it's a very exciting opportunity. And likewise, we'll follow up on the comments about Chair Jonathan with your recommendation about the audit committee. Thank you.
Great. Okay. And thanks now a lot. We will adjourn into closed session. We have another link for that.
Yes, Chair, you do. It's in your calendar.
Okay, I will go grab it. Thank you.
And if you have any problems, feel free to reach out. We'll send it to you directly.
Okay, who sent? Who was it sent from?
This Erica. I sent you the calendar invite.
Let me just.
It should be on for 11 o'clock.
I see.
And aren't I? Am I on the closed session meeting? Did I hit the right link?
No, you're on the old one.
I am. Okay.
Yes. Both of you will need to use the link that is in your calendar.
Yes. The email you sent, Giuseppe, it was Friday the 11th at 12:09.
And that's, and if you, that's a closed session link?
It is, correct. It's it does not come from Zoom. It comes from me directly.
Yeah. Friday at 11:09?
Yes.
Okay, let me leave this. So I'll leave this and get on that.
And if you have any troubles, feel free to reach out. We'll send it to you again.
Okay.
Hello, this is David Friedman. The closed session adjourned at 11:25 a.m. and no reportable action is there to report. So there's no reportable action from the closed session of the board. The board met in closed session to discuss the matter on the agenda. And with that, we are able to adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much for your attendance at 11:26 a.m.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.